Time now for WNCW's More to the Story. I'm your host, Paul Foster. With me today from the Asheville Citizen Times, Joel Burgess. Joel has recently been working on an article about North Carolina gerrymandering, legislative districts, those maps, redistricting. And Joel, thank you for returning to More to the Story.
Happy to be here, Paul.
Joel, what's been the main concern here in North Carolina when it comes to this topic?
Most folks have heard about this. They kind of understand how this happens. Basically, every 10 years, you get a census, and the Constitution says that each state, then, they draw the district. So they draw, not only the lines for the various state houses and state senates, but they also draw the congressional lines. So it's really a fair amount of power that these state assemblies have. And it's a political process in a lot of places. It's been a very political process in North Carolina. Democrats held power in the General Assembly for decades, and they drew political lines to help themselves, to help maintain majorities in a practice that's derided as gerrymandering, derisively called gerrymandering. What's happened, though, is in 2010, the Republicans took over the General Assembly, and they drew the maps in a markedly different way. And what they had at their disposal was new technology. It was computers that really helped them slice and dice the precincts and districts and whatnot. And we were really a flashpoint here in Western North Carolina, because for decades, the line was drawn for the 11th congressional district in a way that really, I think most people agreed, made sense, which was to make Asheville and the mountains all one district, the 11th district. But what Republicans did in Asheville and also in some other urban centers is went in and split up the major cities. And the idea there is to dilute those cities' voting powers, because urban areas tend to be Democratic. So the 11th district is a very competitive district, because you had Asheville, which was a very liberal, progressive area, but it was surrounded by a much more conservative area in the mountains. And so you had this real back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, and the last person prior to the redrawing to hold the seat was Heath Shuler, who is a Democrat, but a very conservative Democrat. Lines got redrawn in 2011, and now you've got an 11th district represented by a very conservative congressman, Mark Meadows, whose district includes a little piece of Asheville. And then the 10th district, which includes most of Asheville, is actually more of a Piedmont district, you could say. It runs all the way to the suburbs of Charlotte, and it's represented by Republican Patrick McHenry.
When you play no part about sides and you look at this right down the middle, does it seem that Republicans redrew those districting lines to favor their side? And do some citizens feel like they don't truly have a representative that is speaking for them?
I think most people in Asheville, most Democratic progressive voters in Asheville, feel like they don't have a representative that reflects who they are. Right now you have 10 Republican members of Congress and 3 Democrats. The reason that it seems out of whack is because if you look at statewide races, it's about 50-50, the votes, Democratic, Republican. You got a Democratic governor, you've got a Republican lieutenant governor, and it kind of flops back and forth like that. And most folks, I think, would think it makes sense to have these congressional districts closer to a 50-50 split, maybe something like a 7-6. Republicans acknowledge that they drew it this way for a partisan advantage, to give themselves 10 congressional seats. And it's worth noting that for a long time, the courts have said, really haven't waded into that. They haven't really passed judgment on the legality of partisan gerrymandering. Now, they have said consistently that racial gerrymandering is wrong, but this partisan gerrymandering idea now, I think, is starting to come to a head, and we're starting to see courts wade into it, and we're starting to see a real fight across the country over it. And that's what this new House Bill 69 is about. There have been past efforts to reform districts, to reform the process of drawing districts. But this one, the sponsors, got some bipartisan sponsors, say it may have a real chance this year for some various reasons.
Now, you shared in your story that 2 Western North Carolina lawmakers from 2 different political parties are helping lead hopeful reform. And, any time we hear about a possible bipartisan effort, it sounds good, but then that leaves you with, can it actually happen?
Exactly. And in honesty, I heard about this bill, and I was a little skeptical, because I've heard about these attempts in the past. So You've got Republican Representative Chuck McGrady from Henderson County. It's a real sort of stronghold of Republicanism in the state. And then you've got Democrat Brian Turner, who represents South Asheville and large portions of Buncombe County, south and west. What Turner is acknowledging that Democrats used gerrymandering in the past, and he's saying it's wrong, and that what they want to do is to form, as has been done in some other states, is form a commission. They'll call it a nonpartisan commission. It's probably more accurate to call it bipartisan, because what they're proposing in House Bill 69 is a 11-member commission made up of Republicans, Democrats, and then some people who are neither.
Joel, I had noticed in a posting on your Twitter page that you had mentioned speaking with a Asheville redistricting expert.
It's an interesting resident of Asheville, Blake Esselstyn, who actually used to work for the city of Asheville as a planner, and he still does private work for planning and whatnot, but he's also taken on redistricting and is actually doing work in that way. He's become a consultant for groups he calls nonprofits opposed to gerrymandering. So he took a look at this bill, and he says he hasn't gone over it with a fine-tooth comb, but he likes some of the aspects that he said he thinks defends transparency. For example, the commission would not be able to meet behind closed doors to talk about this. Any hearings would have to happen in public. Decisions would have to happen in public. And redistricting has typically been a very political process and has happened in that way. It's been behind closed doors, and you know, the party in power would do the drawing of the maps and then bring it out and vote on it. Esselstyn thinks it's actually it's got some good aspects to it. And I'll name a couple other things that are interesting about this commission. Is one, the commission would not be allowed to consider election data, so they can't look at election results within certain districts or proposed districts. And it also can't consider the addresses of incumbents. So in other words, when it draws lines, it can't really think about where incumbents are. Whereas in the past, you know, the idea has been with parties in power often to preserve incumbents that are in their party, but hurt incumbents in the other party.
Joel, when it comes to redistricting and gerrymandering, we'll continue to keep an eye on your stories through the Asheville Citizen Times. Joel, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about Asheville's new city manager, Deborah Campbell, becoming that new manager. To this point, what has been her comments, her hopes, and immediate plans?
Some of the more striking things about Campbell, talking about policing. Campbell was the assistant city manager in Charlotte during riots that actually shut down parts of that city and closed the interstate. And it stemmed from the shooting of a black resident by police. But Campbell said what she learned was that the issues were much broader than that shooting and were socioeconomic, had a lot to do with disparities in income and problems with housing and work. She believes one of the solutions is that those issues have to be looked at. You can't look at policing by itself. She's coming in at a time when Asheville had its own crisis following revelations about the police beating of an unarmed black pedestrian. Hiring a new police chief, Campbell said one of the key things, too, is that she thinks that the police department cannot operate out on its own. It needs to be really integrated into the rest of City Hall and city operations. She also talked about housing being a very important thing. She wants to communicate to developers immediately in the process up front that there are two things that the city wants to see. One is housing, multi-income housing, I believe is the term that she used. So basically housing at different price points and also multi-use.
Always a pleasure getting informed by Joel Burgess of the Asheville Citizen Times here on More to the Story. Joel, thank you so much.
Always great to be here, Paul.
More to the Stories are also available as a podcast on our website, which is wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.